It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and TalentStream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right. Good morning. Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. And today, as much as we do broadcast live from Atlanta, but today we're in beautiful Birmingham, Alabama. Welcome to the show. We're broadcasting from the University of Alabama at Birmingham, and specifically their Hohen Engineering Building, where they're turning out a ton of outstanding talent that goes into companies across the end-to-end supply chain. So, pleasure to be here. This is the first of two shows, and we have an outstanding panel of guests today on this first show, this leadoff show, that I think will be sharing a very interesting conversation, and we've got that all teed up and ready to go. So, friendly reminder, you can find our Supply Chain Now Radio replays on a variety of channels, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, which is a new one for me. I don't know if y'all have heard of that one. And iHeartRadio is one of our newest as well. Of course, our premier partners, distribution partners over at Business Radio X is a great source for all of our shows as well. As always, we'd love to have you subscribe so you don't miss a single thing. So let's welcome today's featured guests. I've had the pleasure of spending some time with them this morning as we've kind of chatted through their expertise that you're going to hear on the show today. But good morning, Leveda Varner, Center Director with the Alabama Technology Network.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here. I've enjoyed meeting you so far.
Same here.
Deslin Robinson, Career Director with the UAB School of Engineering.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Deslin. Alan Hill, Executive Director with the Alabama Productivity Center. Hey, Alan.
Yes, good morning.
And finally, our host and ASCM colleague and great collaborator, Barika McNeil-Hamilton, Productivity Engineer with the Alabama Productivity Center.
Good morning, Scott, and thanks for coming to Alabama.
You bet, Barika. Great to have you and see you in Atlanta last fall as we had the we hosted a regional leadership forum within supply chain, and it was great to reconnect there. But thanks for having us and hosting the show today.
Absolutely.
All right, so we're gonna dive right in. We've got a great conversation. We might have to add on a second hour with all the passion in the room here today. But really, I've enjoyed our warm-up conversation here. So our first featured guest today on Supply Chain Now Radio is Leveda Varner, again, Center Director with the Alabama Technology Network. Good morning, again, Leveda.
Good morning.
So you've got an intriguing story. So before we dive into the organization, all the great things that ATN is up to, let's talk about you, where, you know, what got you to this point today, your personal journey.
Okay. In high school, my mother asked me one day, what did I want to be? And of course, she was a junior high school teacher, taught math and physical education. And I said, oh, I'll just be a teacher like you, Mom. And she said, oh, no, we don't make enough money in Alabama. So I think you'll be good in engineering. So I followed that track, and I pursued industrial engineering at the University of Alabama. And I went on to work for about 23 years with the General Motors and Saturn. So my specialties became a lean manufacturing and in quality. And that's what led me to ATN. They gave me an opportunity to continue that journey. But in addition to the automotive industry, I've gotten a chance to apply those same skills to various industries across the state of Alabama. And I've been serving for the last 5 years as a center director in Birmingham and of Summerton.
And we were talking about how special the automotive industry was coming into the show today. Speak to that a little bit. What do you think makes the automotive industry so special?
I think the automotive industry is extremely special because it's a very demanding industry in terms of the quality needs, the just-in-time philosophy that's there. And you think about it, as we all drive vehicles or as we ride in vehicles, the precision that's required, the comfort that's there. And you think about it, if you want that consistent ride time after time, then there's a cost associated with having the consistency with that comfort, that reliability. Every time you turn that ignition, or you want the lights to work, or you want the radio to work. So there's a cost associated with that, and those are people behind that. In addition to the machines and the equipment that has to run, but the people, there's efficiency that's involved in accuracy.
So let's talk. You mentioned ATN, and for our listeners, that again, you're going to hear that throughout the show today, Alabama Technology Network.
That's correct.
So tell us about that organization and what it does.
Well, ATN is a fast response to technical solutions for business and industries here in Alabama. We are part of the Alabama Community College System under their Workforce Development Division, and we are also the MEP Center for the state of Alabama, and that's Manufacturing Extension Partnership, and that's a federal program that supports small and medium-sized manufacturers in the state. Mm. As you know, a lot of your OEMs, the larger organizations, have those resources to address the various challenges they may have. It's the small and medium-sized businesses, they may have a lot more challenges with fewer resources. So we're there really to support them. So ATN basically will help various industries, mainly manufacturers throughout the state, to really stay competitive with the whatever their most recent challenges are with their training and service needs.
So keeping our manufacturers competitive. Love that.
Yes.
And here recently, the ATN partnered with the Business Council of Alabama to host the 2019 Alabama Manufacturer of the Year ceremony, right?
That's correct. We just celebrated our 20th year for this award. ATN partners with Business Council of Alabama in making the presentation. And we had the honor this year of presenting ZF Chassis Systems from Tuscaloosa, the large manufacturer of the year. Then we had Milo's T from Bessemer, Alabama, as the medium manufacturer of the year. And then thirdly, we had On Point Manufacturing out of Florence as the small manufacturer of the year.
Fantastic. Love that. The manufacturing industry can't get a big enough spotlight, but clearly you are doing your part here in Alabama to recognize all those great companies that are creating jobs and driving economic opportunities for a lot of folks. All right, so let's shift gears a little bit. No pun intended. Okay. No, we were talking automotive earlier.
All right.
lots of dad jokes. All right, so let's talk about supply chain trends and challenges. So what's been on your radar more than others here lately, Leveda?
I think as the supply chain transitions, our challenge at ATN is to make sure that we have the adequate services in meeting those needs. And some of that is to make sure that the training and the services that we're offering meets and addresses what that industry is asking for. One of the things that we've noticed is we've integrated our services. As you take maintenance, industrial maintenance, and information technology, as we address or become more industry 4.0 or advanced manufacturing, we've begun to integrate both. We call it IMT, industrial maintenance and technology. So in addition to that, we will take, say, quality engineering, a lean manufacturing, and now we just say it's continual improvement. So what you see as you address the needs of the supply chain and as industry becomes more integrated, you have to integrate your various disciplines, as we would say back in the day. You have to have some knowledge about all of that in order to have efficiency and to run the operations and the systems as needed today for to be competitive.
Sure. And a lot of our audience will know what we're talking about when we talk about value stream mapping.
Yes.
But, you know, as I've seen in my career, as you talk about having the whole organization kind of integrated, when you bring the whole team together, different functional areas, opportunities surface up, right? Because folks
Absolutely.
Make so many assumptions around how this office handles this and this process here,
Correct.
Right? But when you have everybody singing on the same page of music.
Absolutely. And using the tool of value stream is an excellent tool to bring that to everyone in the organization, seeing what their role is, how it interacts with all the other roles. And it using that tool of value stream, many times we'll do a Kaizen event, some kind of continuous improvement. And we oftentimes see how we eliminate the waste, but what we don't see is how we've also made improvements in the energy or even in the environmental aspects. And those are usually those nuggets that we leave on the table, but that's an excellent tool to get all persons in the organization to see at a snapshot where we fit and how we're operating and what are the areas of opportunity and moving forward.
Love that. So what other trends or challenges have you had your finger on the pulse of here lately?
One of the biggest challenges here in the state of Alabama is we have, it's a good thing that we have a low unemployment rate currently at 3.7, but with that brings the challenge of meeting the job needs. We have plenty of jobs, but we don't have enough people. So mm-hmm. there's a significant effort in trying to, lack of a better word, recruit mm-hmm. persons to the various fields or the various jobs that are out there. So we see that there's a tremendous need in educating and training on the skill sets for these various jobs in, throughout business and industry. Yep. So that's our biggest challenge going forward, making sure that we can recruit people, get them trained, and get them in the respective jobs that currently exist and that are coming down the pipeline.
Yep. You know, if it, depending on what study you look at, there's a variety of studies that look at the skills gap or the gap that's between how, you know, what companies need and the available workforce. And some of them project that there's as few as one qualified applicant in supply chain for every 10 opportunities available.
Okay.
So we've got our work cut out. And then the good news is you've got outstanding organizations like the University of Alabama at Birmingham, the Engineering College here, 500 programs across the country that are helping address that gap. But, you know, not only is the what we believe is there's a greater demand for true supply chain expertise, which is almost inarguable in this Amazon age, but you also have the changing demographics with folks that are at retirement age. And guess what? They're retiring, right?
That's right.
And
so right.
The gaps is growing a number of different ways. So, but to your point, even in this day and age of technology, you still have to have talent that can lead, make decisions, and problem solve, right?
Absolutely. And that's what we like to think of ourselves at ATN as, problem solvers. We get excited when we go into a plant and we see how things are being made. It's simple as it might be or as it's complex, but creating a problem solver and then being able to pass that on to others, especially the youth of today, or persons who are wanting to change industries to become problem solvers, then they can go in any of the fields that we provide training in: environmental health and safety, industrial maintenance and technology, continual improvement, or even in leadership. We find today there's a tremendous demand in people wanting to learn more about leadership skills, because most companies, with a shortage of workforce, they're having to promote from within. Mm. So those leadership skills and that development is very key for them. Mm. So some things that we would take for granted as baby boomers, mm. Of course, I'm a baby boomer, I'm sorry, but baby boomer, Gen X, Gen Y, but we're finding that those are some key skills that need to be taught because it's just not inherent.
Yeah. Before we move on to talking about some of the advantages for companies bringing their operations or expanding here in the greater Birmingham area, any other supply chain trends or challenges that you've been reading up on or experiencing here more than others here lately?
I would say just, again, the lack of the skills that are needed for the jobs that currently exist. Mm. That's why it's so important for ATN and other institutions to be able to provide the training that's needed. And I know we're going to talk later about internships,
yes.
Those type of opportunities, but also for apprenticeship opportunities. We're finding that's definitely on the rise, that throughout the state of Alabama, there are numerous apprenticeship opportunities that's coming about. And I just encourage the young talent, or even just talent, to take advantage of the apprenticeship opportunities, because here's an opportunity to get some hands-on, on-the-job training and getting paid at the same time, and you can continue your education. So just taking advantage of learning about those new opportunities and also meeting some of your personal needs and personal goals, that helps, one, the individual, two, and it's helping business and industry and keeping a vibrant economy here in Alabama.
Love that. So on that note, on that vibrant economy that we can find here, and to our listeners, we're talking with LaVeda Varner, Center Director with the Alabama Technology Network. What are some of the advantages for organizations to either bring their business here or expand in the greater Birmingham area?
Well, one, we have wonderful weather year-round.
It's been gorgeous this week.
Yes, yes, yes. Beautiful day outside. And what we're finding is a lot of companies are relocating, I would say, to Alabama because of the cost of living, the cost of being able to the reduced cost of being able to establish their business and maintain their business. With all of, for example, the automotive industry, we've seen a trend last 20 years of all the automotive companies that have established here throughout the state or nearby states. So you could almost say the, you know, automotive industry of the South,
sure.
You know, in comparison to Detroit. So that is a great momentum. And then as you see those brands of the automotive industry relocate here, that invites other industries. Birmingham is really booming in terms of information technology. The state of Alabama has what they call regional workforce councils. We have seven. And each council throughout in their respective regions identify key industries for those regions and what's vibrant. We're in Central 6 or Region 4 here in the Birmingham region, and some of our key industries are advanced manufacturing, information technology, and automotive. So what you'll see is as the companies come together, understand what some of their needs are, then that helps drive where the resources need to be, where the recruiting and the workforce development needs to take place. So it's a wonderful concept that helps Alabama grow its respective economy overall, but also regionally and locally.
Can it mean it adds some focus to the equation?
Absolutely,
rather than,
absolutely. Yeah. Where should we concentrate our efforts? The other industry here in the Birmingham area is healthcare. Mm. I mean, here at the University of Alabama in Birmingham is a phenomenal key for our healthcare industry through the medical school and even the medical equipment industry here is very vibrant here in Birmingham. So why should people relocate here, or what are some of the reasons? It's very vibrant and people are eager. It's a wonderful ecosystem. We have wonderful startups. I think that those announcements were just made a few weeks ago about the launch pad. Mm-hmm. So great place for people to do startup companies.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And we love our startup community within the supply chain space for sure. Speaking of the medical, I didn't realize just how great of a medical curriculum and school you've got here at UAB. And since we're on a podcast, they just celebrated the UAB Medcast, just had their 100th episode, which is a free podcast, which is based right here. So a lot
awesome.
Of neat stuff here.
Excellent. Congrats, congrats.
Well, we got to love our digital neighbors, right?
Yeah.
All right. So how can folks learn more about you, Levade, and the ATN organization?
Great. You can go to www.atn.org and on our website to get more information, or you can call us at, I'm trying to get up my number here, 877-428-6457.
Fantastic.
Love to hear from you.
Absolutely. And if you can't tell, a lot of passion. I love how they're helping a variety of organizations get more competitive, but especially our manufacturers. So that wraps up the first segment here of the first show. Again, we enjoyed the conversation with Levade Varner, Center Director with the Alabama Technology Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to have you weigh in probably on some other things that come up here today, but thanks for your time this morning.
And thank you for your time.
You bet. Love to be here in Birmingham. Okay, our next featured guest here today on Supply Chain Now Radio is Deslyn Robinson, Career Director with the UAB School of Engineering. Hello,
yes.
Deslyn.
Hello, hello. Go Blazers.
That's right. Go Blazers. really enjoyed the warm-up. Enjoyed speaking with you earlier. We were talking football and some other things. But before we dive into what you do here at the UAB School of Engineering, can you tell us about yourself and your professional journey?
Sure, sure. So my journey, the seed was planted a very long time ago. When I was in high school, I had the dream of being a veterinarian. And I was fortunate enough, you know, during my senior year that summer to be able to participate in an internship with the local veterinarian clinic in Bessemer, Alabama, where I was afforded the opportunity to be a kennel assistant. And that was the hardest job of my life to this day, including being a parent. So with that, I was introduced to, you know, the very upfront working process of working in a veterinary clinic. And spoiler alert, of course, that did not work out. But I also realized it was not for me. And, you know, with an internship, that's the goal, to determine if this is for you or not. Is this going to be your lifelong career? And so from that, that aha moment within myself, I realized that I needed to do some more research. I needed to try to determine what was going to be a better fit. And so that led me to the world of human resources and recruiting, where I had an opportunity to recruit for one of our larger insurance companies here in Birmingham, Protective Life, as well as for our Google of the South, Daxco, recruiting tech talent. So, and through that, I was able to help kind of guide people along their career path, which I had a strong passion for because of my experience so long ago. And help them to help design their careers within those companies. And so it also helped me to identify there was another need, you know, with people coming into the workforce, you know, how much time had they spent realizing what's this really for them? You know, how prepared were they? Which led me to the academic sector, which is where I am today at UAB School of Engineering, where we, you know, train our students like engineers. We want them to receive that training, not just in the classroom, but also in the workplace as well. So I work with our students on their professional development need, as well as with our local community, Greater Birmingham, as well as other areas as well. But a good focus on Birmingham, the Greater Birmingham area, on connecting that talent.
So you're not only are you working with the talent itself, but you're also working with the employers to better understand what both sides are looking for and working on that professional matchmaking.
Exactly, right? A professional matchmaker. Yes.
So before we talk more about that and what you currently do, let's go back to this internship, because I think what's I think there might be a gap between, you know, we all hear about apprenticeships and internships, and we think we know what that is, but you just illustrated a great aspect of why internships are so important. It's not always about landing that perfect internship that is exactly what you're going to do in life and spend the next 100 years doing, but also it can help you uncover what you thought you wanted to do and you don't want to do, and that is such an important thing, right?
Exactly. And with the work that we do here at UAB School of Engineering, UAB in general, with our students, is introducing them to that concept of gaining some type of experiential education or experience. So with the internships or the co-ops or research opportunities, we definitely want students to understand the ins and out of that potential career that they have in mind. And sometimes it works out wonderfully. They find that this is their niche. This is their, you know, their sweet spot. They are excited about moving forward in that career field. But other times, in the importance of it, is that it does not work out. They realize that maybe they do not want to work in a lab, or maybe they do not want to work in manufacturing, but there are areas that they realize it's not for them, and that's okay, but at least they've gained a skill set.
Right.
They've become a lifelong learner to understand that it's going to take some work to figure out what my career needs to be. And so through this introduction, through that internship or that experiential opportunity, they're able to realize that, because they're put through not just, you know, let's grab some coffee or let's make copies. They're actually placed on projects. And that's where we work to partner with our employers in the various sectors of industry, from manufacturing to medical, and also even in the banking industry. We look for students to gain some type of valuable experience on projects that they have going on within their company or their organization.
Love that. And so you've touched on a couple different aspects of your role here as career director with the UAB School of Engineering. But elaborate more on what you do and what the organization does.
Sure. So UAB, the University of Alabama at Birmingham, talk a little bit about that. We do so many great things. If you ever have a chance to just go through our campus, you'll see that we're great at growing. We have definitely cast a huge footprint over the Birmingham area, the community. You'll see new buildings and construction, different things coming up. And that's because we are growing. Last year, we hit record enrollment. We sit almost at 22,000 students across the university. So that's an amazing, especially for an urban university, that's an amazing growth. We're still young, too. Amazing growth point. And then we have such a huge impact on Birmingham in general. We are one of the larger employers in the state of Alabama, with about 24,000 employees. And so that's a huge economic impact as well that we have here at UAB.
Absolutely.
And of course, within the School of Engineering, with my role. So I have a strong passion with helping students design their careers. And we're talking about engineering, we're talking about technology. Design is a huge part of that. And so helping them to understand what it takes to be that future engineer that they have in mind, and the work that goes into it, to better understand why they're taking the certain classes they're taking within our curriculum, even though it may seem pointless at the moment, but while you're sitting through and staying up at all hours of night trying to figure out this programming language or this code, or understanding why thermodynamics is important, because all of that plays a part into that foundational knowledge that you need when we're talking to our employers about how we train our students, how we train them like engineers, and how they can add value to their industry.
So let's talk about what, you know, everyone really wants to put their finger on the pulse of what recent and current grads are looking for, right? Because going back to the war for talent, and if you think that's a cliche, then you're not hiring folks, because it is tough. So give us an insider's track, and we're talking with Deslyn Robinson again, career director with the UAB School of Engineering. Give us the inside track on what these recent and current grads are looking for in an employer.
So it's very different. You know, I think about my parents, and I think about, you know, their generation, and it's still the same communication, you know, they still give me to this day as far as advice is concerned, or as I was growing up. You know, look for something that can provide you with, you know, great retirement or great benefits, great stability. Go in, you know, hoping to make a great salary. And with our students today, you know, that conversation has changed. They those things are still important, but they aren't top of list as they used to be. And so that creates a very interesting dynamic, not just for our students, but for our employers. With the employers, of course, how can they attract and retain that talent? But with our students, they want to know, how can I make an impact within the company? What truly is my value? And is that going to be recognized in the role that I do? You know, it can't just stay at my desk. It can't just stay with the project that I'm working on. I really want to know, how far reaching is this role that I have within the company? It's important to know the type of people that they're working with, as far as leadership. Leadership is huge. It's not about just seeing them through, you know, their work on the job, but how are they professionally developing me as well? Because as I mentioned before, you know, these students are lifelong learners. They're just not wanting to go in and just do the job, but they're wanting to learn these skill sets that they can utilize for life. And so how can that be done within the role that they're in? And so going back to the impact, so it's not just about the job and the role, but, you know, what type of impact does this company have within the community? You know, how can I give back? How can I play a role in that need? And so our students are looking at just, you know, not just the pay, but more than that. Of course, a salary, a good salary is good. That's always the first question, what am I going to get paid? But, you know, what does my overall compensation package look like? You know, what perks are there? Can I negotiate for vacation, more vacation time? Are there remote opportunities? Can I work from home a few days? So they're looking at very different aspects of what the job entails beyond the role.
So beyond all the great work you do for the student side, the talent side, we'll call it, you're also out in the community and the industry quite a bit, as you mentioned earlier. So let's talk about, you know, supply chain trends and challenges. What are you seeing in industry with the employers?
So I'll focus on more so the very, well, what I consider the very upfront, which usually is the point of topic, is being able to provide the talent for the needs that the company has in those areas. And with that, employers are not just looking for, let's say, a specific type engineer, and the title's great, but they want to look beyond the degree to be able to fill the need. And so they're looking for students that can work in an environment where, you know, they can adapt. They can do more than just one task. They can go beyond what they've learned in the degree to fill that talent need. So we look at some of the labor shortages that are there. And we talk a lot about how we can help partner with those employers through internships to maybe fill that gap of that skilled labor that's needed. Can't do it 100%, but maybe a piece of it to help them continue with the work that they're doing.
Everyone wants nimbleness, if that's a word, a flexibility, adaptiveness. I think Leveda used the word agility in the warm-up conversation. You know, we live in this age where change is getting just faster and faster. Folks that can, you know, absorb information, be able to make decisions in a timely manner. and be open, what I'm hearing you say, be open to the changing needs of an organization. So mm-hmm. if on a Monday or on the first week of the month they're working on this project, they can be reassigned and embrace these new challenges.
Exactly.
It seems like what
exactly.
we're looking for.
And that's a very hot topic. I think an agile environment is a huge trend, mm-hmm. Continuing trend. As I was speaking with an employer just this week in the banking industry, that was one of the key skill sets. You know, do your students have any exposure to working in an agile environment? That's what we're looking for. That's where we have a shortage. Mm-hmm. We need them to be able to work efficiently because their landscape, companies' landscapes are changing. The banking industry, as this individual shared, you know, they're not so much looking at that brick and mortar in the banking industry. It's more software based. So it's more like the branches are, you know, a piece of this big technology component within the bank. So more so than where it used to be the opposite way.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The Amazon effect is impacting every aspect, whether you're in supply chain or mm-hmm. banking or financial services, you name it. The bar just keeps getting raised. And, of course, with that big announcement Amazon made a few weeks ago about the investment they're continuing to make, the bar is going to keep getting higher. So, but, you know, that's not a bad thing. You know, I think that forces everyone to kind of reevaluate the voice of the customer and look for ways to get better. And you know, sitting on your laurels and doing things because you've always done it that way. You know, those are the most dangerous phrase in business, right?
Right, exactly.
So, Deslyn, as we kind of wrap up your segment here, how can our listeners get in touch with you and your organization?
Sure.
To learn more.
Yes, if you have any interest in learning more about the University of Alabama at Birmingham, feel free to visit our wonderful website at uab.edu. We have some great information on there, especially our 50th year anniversary and celebration that's taking place. And if it's with or for the School of Engineering and looking more into maybe how we can partner with you for those internship opportunities to provide students with those opportunities, feel free to visit uab.edu/engineering. And then if it's for me directly to continue that conversation, you can reach me at 205-934-8400. I look forward to hearing from you all.
Fantastic. So thanks so much, Deslyn Robinson, Career Director
with the
UAB School of Engineering. Thanks, Deslyn.
It's been a pleasure.
You bet. All right. So, man, we could die again. We're going to have to add some extra hours here. Great stuff. Some great stuff here. So let's move on to our final segment here of this first show. Again, we are live from the University of Alabama at Birmingham. We're broadcasting from the Hohen Engineering building here where they're turning out engineers left and right to save facilities across the supply chain one site at a time here, right? So let's introduce our final featured guests, Alan Hill, Executive Director, and Barika McNeil Hamilton, Productivity Engineer, both with the Alabama Productivity Center. Good morning again.
Good morning.
And glad to have you. And again, Barika, thanks so much for your collaboration hosting the show here today. We've had a great first show and got a great second show lined up. So before we dive into what is the APC and what all the great things y'all do at the Alabama Productivity Center, let's learn more about each of you and kind of that professional journey you've been on. So, Alan, start with you. Tell us about yourself.
Okay. Well, thank you, Scott. Well, like we've heard already, my journey also started back in my high school days. Mine was a little different. It was based on a relationship. I had an uncle that worked for Boeing. And he was a contractor with NASA, worked on the Saturn V rocket. Mm-hmm. Now, that was the rocket that launched the astronauts to the moon.
That's right.
I had an opportunity to spend summers with him, and probably through the course of about 3 or 4 summers down there, he really worked on me because he wanted me to be an engineer. but he exposed me, and I got to go out and see the operation. And, you know, it was just so exciting. And that's all I can say. It was mm-hmm. just like, you know, breathtaking is another word for it, but it got me so interested in just what it was that make these machines work, and that led me to my desire to go into mechanical engineering. I'm a graduate of the University of Alabama at Birmingham, great program here, and I was fortunate enough once I graduated to go actually start off working with Boeing, and I got to work on the space station program, which is kind of it's a little, considering how I got there, it's a little unique. My uncle unfortunately didn't see me graduate, but my aunt was always telling me about it and said, hey, he would have loved that. But through that journey, it really exposed me to a lot of different things, especially the journey at Boeing helped me understand what it was like to work on a project at the beginning. Mm. Okay. You know, we'll talk a little bit more about supply chain and logistics, but, you know, that was a big, big part of my experience there. After that, I went into the fabrication world, and I decided to be more hands-on. Mm. So I got to work with a local, in fact, here in Birmingham, a local manufacturer that made industrial equipment. And I got to work and basically see, you know, how you get the materials, how you build the parts, how you design it, everything. And that was such a neat experience. And then after spending, about 10 years doing all that work, I had the itch to do something different. And there was this little organization called the Alabama Technology Network that really had an interesting concept about, hey, we want to hire engineers to go out and work with business and industry around the state. So I thought, well, I'll do that for a couple of years, and 14 years later, I was presented another opportunity, which led me to where I am now at the University of Alabama running the Alabama Productivity Center. But the one thing, and you heard a lot about that from Leveda, and she's absolutely correct, great organization. And I'm going to tell you, it was gave me the exposure to so many types of business and industries in our state. Yeah. The one thing that I say is a big takeaway is that, you know, I have never lost that excitement when I walk into a company for the first time. Mm. And when I see whatever it be, an operation, a piece of equipment or whatever, you know, just, banking even, just to kind of understand how that model works. And what we try to do at the APC, and I know you're going to lead to this question, is to work with our interns to get them to have that same type of excitement.
Yep.
So, but anyway, that's kind of what led me to the journey of where I am now.
Fascinating. So you have a Saturn V rocket in your backyard you still tinker with?
I do not, but I do have a model sitting on my desk, as a matter of fact, which I get asked about quite a bit, like, what is that? And by the way, I am a baby boomer.
So fascinating, Alan. All right, so Brika, tell us about yourself.
Well, my journey in logistics started as a junior in college. I had to declare a major, and there weren't many other disciplines that interested me. And I had a relative who had recently graduated from the logistics program. It's very new to Alabama A&M University. I'm a proud graduate. Go Bulldogs. And I had an opportunity, a great opportunity, to intern with Toyota Motor Sales out in Los Angeles, California, and that really opened my eyes to so many different other areas of logistics and supply chain. But as I was studying the discipline, I realized that I had been around it my entire life. My father, stepfather, is a retired truck driver. But we didn't coin it as logistics. It was daddy had a job and he drove a truck. So it was really neat to make that connection and get an understanding of how important it was to our way of living. So after I graduated from college in 2002, I started working with Ryder Systems Incorporated around the time that Honda, manufactured in Alabama, came to Alabama and started producing the Honda Odyssey and the Pilot, and they also make the Ridgeline. So I started as a night shift dispatcher with Ryder. That was not something they talked to me about when I was studying logistics. But even so, it turned out to be a really great start to my career. I worked there for almost 15 years, and when I left, I was the group logistics manager, not only supporting our inbound transportation strategy to Honda of America, but also the cross-docking and warehousing piece that was based in Knoxville, Tennessee. As Leveda mentioned earlier, automotive is a very demanding area, just in time, neat strategy, but it's very tasking on the people that actually do the work. So I wanted to shift gears and, you know, get into an area where I was able to spend a little bit more time with my family, and thankfully the opportunity was presented at the APC, and I've been there since January of 2017.
Fantastic. So if we can go back to something, you said your stepfather was a truck driver, right?
That is correct.
And you mentioned how important that was for your family. I would argue that truck drivers are important for all families, and they don't get enough appreciation.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the reasons why I think we can all probably agree that we see such a huge gap in the need versus folks coming into that pipeline. Mm-hmm. I don't have the numbers in front of me. Maybe Malcolm and the research team can get those to me. But, in a few years' time, we're going to be several hundred of thousands of short on truck drivers. Mm-hmm. So thanks to your stepdad and all the other truck drivers that keeps the economy moving and in supply chain moving, you know, they deserve more respect, and we got to figure out a way as an industry to give them a lot more respect. So neat stuff. All right, so let's dive into the APC, the Alabama Productivity Center. And again, we're talking with Alan Hill, Executive Director, and Brica McNeil-Hamilton, Productivity Engineer at the APC. So tell us about what it is and what it does.
Well, the Alabama Productivity Center is an experiential learning program. We're housed in the Culverhouse College of Business. We work with all students. In fact, our partners, Deslin is one of our partners. We not only use UA students, we use UAB students, UAH, and other universities around the area. We've also done some work with ATN with our community college partners. The whole idea behind it is to, while the student is going through their education, to give them exposure and a real-life experience. The program actually got its start back in 86, I believe it was. And I'm just, for those that can't see this, Laveda is grinning, and the reason I'm going to tell you this, Laveda was one of those students, okay, when she was at the University of Alabama. There was a company there that was a GM supplier, made carburetors. They were about to close. The university stepped in and said, hey, what can we do to help support and you know, let you stay open and, you know, keep our community thriving? So a model was developed to say, well, let's turn it into an experiential learning lab. Okay, let's take the students, let's take what they're learning, apply it to the shop floor, make improvements. Let's see what we can do to make this a successful organization. That model worked quite well for a number of years. Wound up keeping the plant open a little bit longer. It ultimately closed, but through that, one of the programs that came out of it was the Alabama Productivity Center. And at the essence of it is, we're not a for-credit program, but what we are experiential learning. So the students, when they come to us, we have a staff, Barika and myself both, you know, are included in this. We do field work with the students. We also are supported by our faculty partners at the respective universities. So the students really have a, you know, you might say a support system around them when you put them. And Barika and myself, when we go out to develop these projects, we work very hard on scoping a specific project. We want them something that they can complete within a semester. But they want them, basically, we want them to get their hands dirty, okay? We want them involved in the operation. We want them involved in seeing, you know, doing something that's going to be beneficial to the operation. Through that, and you've heard just like what Deslin was saying, it's going to be an internship experience that once they get out there, it's going to be, they're going to find out that, hey, this is something that I really want to do when I graduate, or maybe I need to look somewhere else and look around. But it's an experience, and it's also a resume builder.
Brica, anything you want to add to that?
I do. One of the things that we focus heavily on when we're looking for opportunities for students to gain that additional knowledge, complementing what they've learned in the classroom, is a setting where they will be mentored. We ensure that they're assigned a mentor once they are connected with an employer, and that they serve in the role as a guide, someone that's experienced, that can give them some insight into future opportunities, but also to assist them and mentor them throughout that process so that when they leave, not only have they made some professional impacts to the organization, but they've grown and developed personally as well. So we're really strong advocates for that, and I think we can all say that we've benefited throughout our careers with you know, really good mentoring partnerships. So we think that's key in their development and growth as students.
Absolutely.
Entering the career field.
Love that. Absolutely. All right, so let's shift gears a little bit here. Let's talk about some of the, I mean, all the work y'all do out in the industry and beyond just being experts within the supply chain space. What supply chain trends and challenges have y'all been tracking more so than others? And we can start with Brick, if you'd like.
We've talked a lot about the automotive industry and how different companies support the whole effort of getting those raw materials to the end consumer. But I think another emphasis that industry is focusing on is that human supply chain, as Laveda alluded to in our pre-show, and strengthening that. You know, we talk about the 7 R's of logistics, the right product at the right place, quality, quantity. we've got to, as professionals, I say, ensure that we've got the right people with the right skill sets and talents and put them in the right settings where they're able to grow and support the global economy. And as an individual, I also had to step back and say, well, what am I doing about this challenge as well? So I partnered with the Ready to Work program here in our city to introduce the concept of supply chain as a professional career opportunity for students that are in high school. But I think that we should start those conversations as early as elementary school. Supply chain wasn't even considered a profession until 2000, right? It's not very long time ago. So there's a competition, as we spoke to earlier, of all the different other careers that they could possibly explore. So I think that it's crucial that we make those connections early on and help them to understand how beneficial it is to our economy, but also how it could, again, possibly change their social economic status. So again, just introducing it at an early age for students.
So Brika, you and I need to get together. Let's talk about Supply Chain 101 and bringing it here to Birmingham. We'll talk more about that
later.
Love the work you're doing, that Ready to Work program, and talking to high schoolers about all the opportunities across end-to-end supply chain. That's such a critical initiative, right? We can need to do a lot more in industry. Alan, what else would you add to that? What are you tracking across supply chain?
Well, one of the things, I'm going to go back to our discussion on automotive. You know, the impact automotive has had in our state is just phenomenal. And I'll go back to when Mercedes first came. And it's not only that it's created opportunities, you know, to bring in other industries, but the practices automotive have. One of the things that I see a lot of, and I'm going to use it as the internal supply chain. We work with a lot of business industries, big and small, okay? And a lot of times when we get in there and we start looking at issues that they may be having, we actually pull from our automotive experience and say, hey, here's an idea that they use at a Mercedes or a Toyota or at a Honda. And what we find is that those best practices are having a big impact on all types of industries. You heard banking mentioned earlier. They actually use some of those same philosophies. So the thing that I'm seeing trend-wise is that from supply chain management and logistics aspect, I'm seeing a lot of that flow down from partners like our automotive suppliers that come in, is that to these other business and industries, and they're benefiting from it. And that's you know, the organization sitting at this table, that's what we want. We want to see a thriving economy, and that's a good thing that comes out of all this.
You know, I think arguably, so we broadcast live the Association for Manufacturing Excellence. They had a regional lean event in Atlanta a week or two ago, and they had, I think, 12, 13, 14 plant tours set up for all the folks to go through. And I would argue that, you know, 20 years ago, you wouldn't have nearly as many plants welcome folks in to do some of the benchmarking and the best practice sharing, because I completely agree with you. There's so many transferable things across industries, across sectors, across plants. But we got to take advantage of that. We got to share, be willing to share. But interesting, internal supply chain, it's one of the things you're tracking, and certainly the proliferation of best practices and benchmarking from automotive across the other aspects of the business world. Anything else from supply chain trends or challenges, Brika and Alan, do you want to share?
Well, just going back to the talent stream. You know, we mentioned earlier that there were roughly 500 or so programs across the U.S. that offered supply chain logistics or some variation of that to interested students. But when we look at the number of enrollment for women in those fields, it's very, very low. So there's still work to be done in that area in terms of pulling females in and allowing them to see how great of a, you know, experience they can have working in this field. I think we need to have more of those conversations. And then once they enter the workforce, to position them to elevate and grow and get into top leadership positions as well. We talked earlier about you can't be what you can't see. And I think these are great opportunities for people to, one, get exposed, but secondly, just see how far they can go and then have sponsors and mentors to guide them along that pathway and then pull up other people behind them once they get into those roles.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you're talking about the disparity in enrollments and in industry, but then if you look up into the C-suite, the disparity is, I mean, we're talking single digits in right. terms so of representation. Yeah, yeah, it's huge. Yes, it is a huge gap. And we've got to tackle that. And of course, one of our mutual friends, Elva Priha Gallagher and Show Me 50, is doing great work there. And we'll have her on another upcoming show. In fact, she sets a record for appearances on Supply Chain Now Radio. She's got a championship belt, I think, that comes with. But good stuff. But I like that phrase, and I don't want to get that lost in the shuffle. You can't be what you can't see.
Well, I didn't coin that. That was actually Marion Wright Elderman, who's a graduate of the Spelman College there in Atlanta. And she's, a, I think, 1959 graduate. But that resonated with me. You know, when we talked about logistics as a profession, and my father being a truck driver, my brother spent a lot of time with him. Mm. And for up until he graduated from high school, he wanted to be a truck driver. Now, he didn't go into that profession, but, you know, he is in automotive. He works at the engine assembly plant there in Honda, but I don't think he would have even considered that had he not been exposed to logistics and trucking and having a passion and drive for working with my dad on repairing whatever issues he had with his automobile. But it's key that experience, that I guess you could say those elementary internships are very key.
Absolutely.
In driving our career path. Mm-hmm.
So Malcolm and the research team got back to us here. So you mentioned truck drivers. We talked about the truck driver shortage. Currently, 60,000 drivers short in industry. Wow. Projected in 2026, 180,000 truck drivers short. And if you think that doesn't impact you, once milk stops being on the shelf every day and bread, I mean, it's coming if we don't figure out. And, you know, we're seeing other solutions, of course, autonomous driving, other technologies and stuff. Correct. But still, this is a challenge. And of all the truck drivers, what percentage do y'all think are women?
It's very low.
Very low.
Yeah. I think it's less than seven. I think maybe 7%. I was reading, going through some research with Women in Trucking, as a matter of fact, affiliated with them. Great group. I'm actually going to be down there in Dallas at their annual conference as a breakout speaker. So if you're interested in coming, come and see me. But it's very low. And I think what you've seen recently when we try to address the shortage is building units that accommodate women, because they're traditionally built for men. But we also tend to be safe drivers. And, you know, that motherly instinct and that intuition goes very well with the industry. I was in it for 14 years, and, you know, we had some really good female drivers, and I was intentional on recruiting them because, again, I wanted to have a diversified workforce. But there's an opportunity there.
Huge.
To get, you know, more females into the industry.
Yep. And you're right. It's 6%. Very close.
I was very close.
Yes, very close. Alan, anything you want to add as we look at trends and challenges in this conversation?
Well, let me add this, Scott. You know, and of course, you know, the ladies you see sitting at this table are role models. And the one thing that we try to do with our internships is to expose them. And again, we're going after every student that's out there. Mm-hmm. But just to Barika's point, we don't see enough of females. We don't see enough minorities. We don't see enough of these other students for whatever reason getting into these. And we want to put the word out that it is open, and we want to hear from you because we want to get you involved. And one of the things that we try to do is to do our best to make sure that we find a good fit for them, but also give them, and that's where Barika, because, and I'm going to, you know, just tout her for right now because, like I said, she is such a good mentor to these young ladies, especially the young ladies that go through, but also the young men, okay? Because, again, we have a very diverse workforce out there. So let me just say that.
Yeah,
like
sure.
Like I said, that's important. That is very important. Yeah. I, you know, again, leveraging on the workforce side, I'm going to kind of go back to something that I think both Levita and Barika, well, I think Desilyn even said it too, leadership. One of the things that, you know, and this impacts pretty much all aspects of the workforce, is what are we doing to develop our leaders? Now, in supply chain, that's even more critical, okay? What are we doing to develop those leaders? Because, again, a lot of it comes, you know, you got to have good leadership skills. You've got to be that person that not only makes a selection of the right people, but also give them right guidance, okay? Because, let's face it, you know, when things are running right, we love it. Like you said, that milk's at the store. But when things are not running right, and I'm not putting that blame on the leaders, but I'm just saying that I do think that too often we are too quick to say, this is a great person doing this job. Let's move him up into be a leader. But nobody takes the time to say, well, let's help prepare this individual for this position. So I think that's a an opportunity, I believe,
yep,
that needs to.
We gotta figure out a way to attack that opportunity, you know, right, in a meaningful way. So before we ask you all for some contact information, I want to pose a question to Deslin and Leveda. What if you had to pick one thing that would move the needle in a meaningful fashion to create a more well-rounded diversity of thought and opportunity in across supply chain, what would that be? What are folks missing out on? What are organizations missing out on? Or what advice would you have us as we try to, you know, embrace all aspects of the community?
I would add that we just need to keep an open mind and be lifetime learners, and that much of what's needed, the foundation, we know as individual disciplines. I think I made a reference earlier about industrial maintenance or IT, but you have to, today, with the technological advances of systems, equipment development, or business practices. I think we mentioned that earlier about leveraging business practices, regardless of what industry that best practice comes from.
Right.
But keeping an open mind, being a lifetime learner, and willing to integrate these disciplines across the board, I think sets the right tone,
yep,
for us keeping the pace for our global industries.
Yes, and I think what I'm hearing you say is by keeping open mind, lifelong learner, you're also not, you don't get stuck in the rut of that's how we always do things.
Exactly.
And that's who we always hire.
Exactly.
This, that, and the other. So.
Exactly. And there's one other key word I wanted to throw in because we've mentioned mentoring, sponsorships, things like that. I want to say coaching,
yeah, mm-hmm,
since that's our new term,
yes,
today, about coaching and using coaching, yeah, moments for with each other and with individuals in helping them then to grow to become great leaders.
Yep.
And we miss those opportunities. So all of that has to be a part of preparing that next generation, as well as those of us currently today growing to be ready for those challenges as our industries evolve.
Yep. Love that, Leveda. So Deslin?
So I would definitely second that. That is very true. When we're thinking about that, also think about the type of thought leaders that you are leaning on. Having a diversified way of thinking and approaching and tackling different challenges, especially when it comes to different sectors of the industry, and how you can keep that moving, those thought leaders are very important. So what was just mentioned, you know, when you do the same thing the same way, you get the same results. Mm-hmm. So when you're able to diversify that way of thinking and bringing in different backgrounds, different types of individuals that, you know, not necessarily thinking about engineers, not always engineers, but maybe someone, you know, from a different line of business, to come in and take a look with a different perspective, a different set of eyes, to provide something that could help you along the way. So that would be my biggest thing, and that goes back to being open-minded.
Mm-hmm. Love that, Deslin. Thank you all both for weighing in. All right, so shifting gears back over to Alan and Barico, let's talk about how can folks learn more about the Alabama Productivity Center?
Well, you can go to our website at apc.ua.edu. You can also, and then, of course, look at the contact information. You'll find mine and Barica's both. Our information is there, how to reach us individually, or just to actually put a question in if you want some information on the center. You can also give us a call at 205-348-8956.
Okay, and that was apc.ua.edu?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Okay, great. And Barica, Malcolm also shot me a quick note and mentioned that conference that you mentioned you're keynoting at. In Dallas, yeah, the Accelerate.
I'm not the keynote.
Well,
I'm a breakout speaker.
Yeah, hey, you know, hey, you got a sales and marketing here. Come on.
At some point, perhaps, but not this year.
We can go ahead and call it keynote. Let's just go ahead and go with that. I like that.
So the Accelerate conference, Women in Trucking in Dallas, and that's September 30th through October 2nd.
That is correct.
And if awesome. You want to join that great event, which it's now on my radar, maybe we'll take a show down there, it's womenintrucking.org/accelerate-conference. So news note, those folks are in for a treat with you down in Dallas
Thank
come
you.
This fall.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. They've done some really great work. in terms of moving the needle and getting the exposure to young girls and even those who've been in the industry for a very long time and getting them the recognition that they need.
Love that. Well, and you're going to have to do a key takeaways with us. You know, if we can't be down there, when you come back, we'll set up a time to interview you, and we'll grab some of your key takeaways and observations from that great event. All right, so we just wrapped up our final session with Alan Hill, Executive Director, and Barika McNeil-Hamilton, Productivity Engineer, both with the Alabama Productivity Center. And again, you can reach them back at apc.ua.edu for more information. So as promised, that hour moves very fast. Really have enjoyed the conversation we've had here today. We're going to wrap up on a couple of final events here. Supply Chain Now Radio, proud media partner. Speaking of events, EFT is bringing their 3PL and Supply Chain Summit to Atlanta June 10th through the 12th. You've got a home run lineup of speakers from companies such as Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, Cisco, UPS, DHL Supply Chain, many more. We're going to be broadcasting live thanks to our friends over at Becker Logistics. You can check them out at beckerlogistics.com. Or if you want more information about the event itself, which is open, you can visit them at EFT.com for details. If you can't find what you're looking for, shoot us a note and we'll make sure we get you the information. We're also going to be broadcasting live from the Georgia Manufacturing Summit on October 9th, so make sure that's on your calendar. Our next show this Friday, we move from one beautiful town of Birmingham, and the weather is just really ideal here today. We're going to be in Savannah on Friday with three shows, including a conversation with the president of APIC Savannah, Jeff Leroy. So keep that on your radar. I don't know the time for that right off, but, you know, we make it easy. There's a big red button at the top of our website, supplychainnowradio.com, that usually features the next show and gives a blurb about where it is and what time it is and allows you to click on that and listen live. So you can check that out. Big thanks to our guests today. So we have had LaVeda Varner, Center Director with the Alabama Technology Network, Deslin Robinson, Career Director with the UAB School of Engineering, Alan Hill, Executive Director with the Alabama Productivity Center, and his colleague Barika McNeil-Hamilton, Productivity Engineer with the APC and soon to be keynote at major supply chain trade shows around the country. No, what a great conversation. Thanks so much. Thanks for hosting. Be sure to check out other upcoming events, replays of our interviews and other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. Again, you can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, all the other leading sites where podcasts can be found. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything. On behalf of the entire Supply Chain Now Radio team, is that what we're on? Big thanks to Malcolm and the research team. This is Scott Luton wishing you all a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio. Thanks, everybody.